Voices tells the arts, the culture, and the history stories of Northern Minnesota. And this weekend, there's a unique theatrical experience happening at the Long Lake Theater in Park Rapids. It's called The Last Flapper. It's a one-woman show, and it is about Zelda Fitzgerald. And in the studio right now, we've got Julie Kaiser. She is the one woman in the one woman show, and she's here to talk about it. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
So, who was Zelda Fitzgerald?
Zelda Fitzgerald was the wife of F. Scott Fitzgerald, who, you know, many people
the
know.
The great author.
The great author, mm-hmm. and Minnesotan. So, but she, Zelda was an interesting woman because she didn't really have a story. Part of what attracted me to her story was the fact that she seemingly didn't have one.
Okay.
And we always heard of Scott Fitzgerald, but we didn't hear a lot about her. And so this one-woman play talks a little bit, well, quite a lot about her life as a Southern belle, her rebellion about that lifestyle, her marriage to Scott, the disintegration of that marriage, and then ultimately her own mental breakdown.
Okay, and from what I understand, this play, this one-woman play, takes place on the last day of her life?
That's correct. It does. The play is set in a mental institution in Asheville, North Carolina. Zelda spent much of the last 10 years or so of her life in and out of mental institutions. And on the day that this play is set, which, you know, I brought my script so I could remember. You'd think I would remember these things.
Well, but you have lines to remember.
Right. Yeah, a couple lines. On March 10th, 1948, which is the day this play is set, she was in this hospital and the hospital caught fire and she and eight other women died. So this is set in her psychiatrist's office and the play unfolds as a hypnotic session.
Oh.
So you as the audience member are taken into her world through a hypnotic counselor session.
Okay. So it's built off of a real life event. But somebody's, who is the author?
The author is William Luce.
Or the playwright? Okay.
Yep.
So William Luce has taken some creative license and...
He has taken some creative license indeed, but a lot of the words that are in the script are taken from Zelda's own writings. So notes and writings of her own. She had a very florid way of speaking and writing, and she was far more... She was far more artistic and far more brilliant than anyone ever knew or probably gave credit for. You know, she came of age in the 1920s. Scott Fitzgerald coined the phrase the jazz age.
Mm-hmm.
So he and Zelda were, they were the archetype for the 20s. She was the original flapper, and which is, you know, thus the title, The Last Flapper.
Right.
But she lived in Scott's shadow.
I have read over the years that the rumor is that she may have been behind many of his works.
Oh, yes.
Okay, can you talk a little bit about...
Sure.
I mean, surely you've learned a lot about this woman over the course of this.
Yeah, I've done, you know, quite a bit of research about her, and there is lots of evidence to suggest that a lot of his writing was her writing.
Uh-huh.
And Zelda has a lot of really interesting quotes, you know, attributed to her. She was quite witty. And one of hers was that plagiarism begins at home. And he pilfered, if you will, from her diaries and some of her letters and put it into his work as well. And one of the things that I think is so fascinating is that I really do believe that both of them could not have existed without the other in the way that they ended up existing. I think they were both each other's muse, but they were also the destructive force that took them both down.
Sure.
And separately, I don't know that we would have had such personalities. You know, Scott Fitzgerald was a brilliant writer, but I think he needed her in order to have that brilliance come out.
Right.
You know, and she too was brilliant. Unfortunately, the age in which she lived didn't allow for her to be strong and for her to be brilliant. She was a strong woman in the late 20s and early 30s. And in those days, strong women were often labeled as crazy. And she was labeled that way. And
because of, she's a very passionate
person. Exactly. Very passionate, strong, you know, all of those things that we might attribute to being good qualities, you know, as people and as women, were looked upon as maybe a challenge to the status quo that was going on. And so, of course, she was institutionalized, and not constantly. She was in and out of hospitals. She herself said she was a graduate of several mental institutions. She was quite witty. And so she was in and out of mental institutions from, I don't recall exactly what year, the late 20s, early 30s, till the rest of her life. And she was labeled as a schizophrenic. Indeed, she probably wasn't. They've looked at notes and things in the ensuing years and found that she would probably be, she'd probably be labeled bipolar today.
Okay.
You know, and many people are, you know, a bipolar. We live with this, you know, we exist, you know, in a perfectly reasonable world. But in her day, it was not something she could do. And so on the last day of her life, there is evidence to suggest that she was on the top floor, strapped down to a table, awaiting electroshock therapy when she died.
Wow.
So there's some conflicting things. Some people say, maybe not. But that's the prevailing opinion is what happened to her. And it was a wooden structure. So, of course, there was no saving it, and there was no saving the women who died.
Right. So when we go to theater, it seems like we leave a little bit different person than we walked in as. How are you seeing this play affect people? And, you know, what are people taking away from it? More than the history necessarily.
Sure. There's the history aspect, of course. But what I found people leaving with is a yearning to know more about her, which has been really good, and that's one of the things that was important to me in doing this show. The other is they feel that we aren't that far removed from this kind of behavior, sadly. You know, we still cage people who are strong in different ways, and I've seen an awareness of that come through as people have talked to me about the play, is that, wow, you know, we still are kind of doing that. So maybe we ought to look at creative people or strong people a little bit differently. But most of the comments I've had from folks have been very positive, and people have felt really good about it. You know, hers was a tragic but hopeful story, you know, because even in her last years, she did maintain her dignity. And her wit. And I think that hopefully I do that well.
Oh, I'm excited to see it. So it's a one-woman play. Have you done a one-person play in the past, or is this the first time?
This is the first time I've ever done anything like this.
How is this different than, obviously it's very different than playing, doing a play with other actors who you're playing off their energy and the timing and everything. Talk about the preparation process.
The preparation is really interesting. It takes me a while now to memorize type of things. Part of that might be just that I'm getting a little bit older too, and I don't, you don't memorize as fast now as you used to. But it's a lot of just reading and reading and reading and reading for me. The other thing is I have a terrific director. Jennifer Gerratz is directing this play. And she's a collaborative partner of mine. We actually own a small theater company, which is co-producing this. So we work very well together. So she's helped me immensely. And we have a two-woman crew that have helped me too. So the preparation, I know that seems like I'm rambling, but our light director has been so wonderful about creating and crafting a lighting scheme that gives me the cues that I would probably get from actors.
Ah.
Which is very, very interesting. So you find yourself relying a lot more on the technical aspects of theater, which you sometimes don't really aren't as in tune to when you're in a big production or you have other actors. You know, it doesn't seem, it's there, but it's not as profound as this is, you know. So this, I have to pay attention to the lights or the sound.
They're cueing you.
Those are my cues.
It's like losing a sense.
In a way, yeah, it is. It's been an interesting ride, and you know, I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed her.
Right. So it's at the Long Lake Theater, and that's in Park Rapids.
It's in Hubbard, actually, which is 6 miles south of Park Rapids. But if you find your way to Park Rapids and you get south just a little bit, you'll find Hubbard.
And tickets, you can just buy a ticket at the door?
You can buy tickets at the door.
Okay.
Their tickets are available about an hour before the show starts. There's a little pub that you can sit and have a Bemidji brew. Even while you're waiting for the show. And we start at 7:30 on Friday and Saturday and 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Sounds fantastic. Thanks. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share about Zelda or?
I'll tell you that, as I said, my director Jennifer and I, we own a small little company called Vision Theater.
Okay.
And our goal is to produce original and established works in the region and make some more art accessible to people all over. And so we're delighted that we've been able to co-produce this show. So this is kind of our baby. The other thing that I would tell you about Zelda is that though she lived what some people would call a bit of a tragic life, she found a way to enjoy absolutely everything. She faced life head on, and even the challenge of it, and even in her last days, I think she rose above it. And as I said, she maintained her dignity, and I think that's a lesson for all of us, that we're faced with things that don't always seem right. We can always rise above it. We can always be dignified.
That's right.
That's a good thing.
That is right. You know, I was going to ask, it's called The Last Flapper.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, that was a phrase that F. Scott coined for her.
Yes. She was the original flapper. If you read, you know, most of us are familiar with some of Scott's books,
mm-hmm.
in particular The Great Gatsby, in most cases. He wrote Zelda into all of his novels, honestly. You know, she lives on as Daisy and Nicole and Rosalind, all those people that are in the novels. And so in The Great Gatsby, Daisy is the original flapper. You know, she is a flapper. She is a proud and selfish, she has a child, and she wants the child to grow up to be a proud and selfish little fool. You know, that's an interesting turn of phrase. But those were all things that Scott wrote into that.
Huh.
And so, yes, she was the original flapper.
Wow. Well, the play is called The Last Flapper. It's at the Long Lake Theater this Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
And this is Julie Kaiser. She's the star of the show, and definitely one to check out, to make the drive if you're not in Park Rapids, and check out and learn a little about history
Absolutely.
And about humanity.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would encourage people. I think they'll enjoy it.
So thank you, Julie, for coming in.
My
pleasure. And break a leg this weekend.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.